Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Elena C., a compulsive overeater from South Carolina.
Thank you. It's a big meeting, and can you hear me clearly?
Oh, Elena, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask you if I'm in your timer. Do you want a 5-minute warning or anything?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got 30
minutes.
Is it
for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, or how long?
30.
Okay. So my name is Elena C., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater for today from South Carolina. And I think I see some names that are, I think I know from vision meetings. I only hear the voices there, so it's good to see the name and the face. So I was born in Romania in Carpathian Mountains. And when I was little, the community that I was where I was born, they were very big on foods and meals. And that's how people would make connection. And it was a very warm community with, you know, loving people. And I thrived there. I know I had a sweet tooth, but I did not necessarily believe that I was a compulsive. I had an addiction at that point. So my mother used to bake. She liked to bake. She was never into cooking, but she had to cook. But she was baking, and she baked a lot of chocolate cakes. And I hope I don't trigger anybody here. But that's how I remember my first memory of like eating a lot of sweets. I was also always into sweets. And so I connected with my mom over some chocolate and whatever she was baking for me. And I was very slender in my teenage years, very skinny. I was more into a small body. And I actually was bullied for that. And I always wanted to gain weight. I just couldn't. That just was my body type. And so when in my teenage years, you know, I started eating and more and also smoking cigarettes, and I still wasn't gaining weight until in my 20s. I think after 27, I gained some weight, but you know, my disease was progressive. I totally recognized the progressive nature of my disease. It just went worse and worse and worse. Also remember, so I think I also said in this morning about the loss of my sister when I was 16. I'm sorry, hang on a minute. John, can I? Okay, so the loss of my sister at the age of 16, and I was very sad. I was a teenager, and people in around me, like my parents, they didn't know what to do with that, and so we started to hide from each other to protect each other, I believe. But also, it was very, very difficult to feel that. And I remember my visiting her husband after she passed with my father, and her husband gave me as a gift a box of chocolates, and I just ate all of them, you know, without thinking. And I remember I was really sick after that, and I, that's it, you know, that was good. And I think that I very much associated the feeling of pain with kind of numbing through food and not necessarily feeling that pain. I had no idea how to do it. And then so my disease became progressive, and you know, in my 30s it just hit with a vengeance. And that's when I believed that I got the phenomenon of craving. And I want to read from doctor's opinion. It says here that the body of an alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. I had no idea why I'm doing that, why that happened. I always thought that if I can just, I will be able to have a big willpower to kind of eat one bite and then stop. And then sure enough, it never happened. But it says here that these allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. And so what that meant for me, the effect was elusive. I just loved it. And for several minutes, I was in heaven. That's what it was. And I couldn't differentiate the true from the false because, you know, the so-called double whammy of our condition is the allergy of the body and then the belief that we can have one more bite and we're going to stop. And it's almost like I put my hand on the stove and I burned my hand. And, you know, the next day I totally forgot, mental blank spot. And I put my hand on the stove again. And that's what, you know, was true for me. I was like, well, you know, okay, I'm just gonna eat just one, and then I ate some more, and then next day I will just abstain from eating, and then just the you know, the night came and dinner, I was very powerless over it. So just fast forward, because I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. I joined Al-Anon when I was, I think, in the early 2000, and that was the program was good. I got me a higher power, and yet, you know, I continued to eat, and you know, I started to learn a lot about dieting, and then I started dieting. And I was by myself doing what I was doing, you know, not even having a dietitian. I was just like, I'm going to read about this diet and I'm going to do it. And then so I engaged in many, many diets. You know, I lost weight and I gained it all back because I still continued to eat my triggering foods. And then I remember I went to Weight Watchers and they told us that there were points. You can eat, you can buy points, but you could also don't have to worry about points, but you can just eat certain foods. Well, so, and they weigh you there when you go. And then when you go back every week, they weigh you again. And so, the way I did Weight Watchers was I was like, did not eat that much until about three. And then at three, you know, I would go to Weight Watchers and I would weigh myself. They told me that I lost weight. And then after that, I went to Subway and I got me a foot-long, you know, sandwich and with a lot of ice cream. And but I lost weight because I knew how to do it, you know. So fast forward, in Al-Anon program, somebody introduced me to OA. And she talked to me about OA, and I didn't like it. You know, I was thinking of her own, and she told me, "Oh my gosh, my sponsor fired me." I'm like, What the hell are those people doing to you? You know, that's gross. So, but then I guess that I just had to feel the gift of desperation. The gift of desperation is like, I have no idea what else to do. I'm suffering because I'm losing control over this. And I just, whatever I need to do, I ran out of dieting. I didn't know what other diet to be. There was almost everything that was out there, I was doing it. And then I went to ask her, you know, if I could attend an OA meeting with her. So she took me to the first meeting. And I was so mad at the word compulsive overeater. I'm like, oh my God, what do you mean? I don't know what that means, you know, like, and now you're telling me there's something else wrong with me. Why you brought me here to tell me that there's something wrong with me? However, in that meeting, even if people were saying there was just certain light about these people and peace about these people, and they talked about how they did it. And I liked that. And after the first meeting, I know I was I was inviting at a party, and I decided to bring a cake because that's what I was doing, you know, like I was bringing the cake that I liked, by the way. So it wasn't what they liked. The cake that I like. So here I come with a cake, and you know, I call this person in the program in Al-Anon who took me to OA. I said, you know, I bring you a cake and I'm just gonna have one piece. And she said, all right, well, call me after that and tell me how that was working for you. Because you know, there's the so-called phenomenon of craving. I'm like, what phenomenon of craving? Whatever, I can just do one piece of cake. So, and sure, I couldn't, right? So I couldn't. And you know, I called her back, said, oh my God, I hate that you were right. And then she told me about a Vision for You meetings. And I did go into the meetings, and I got me a sponsor. And then I think I was abstinent for like a year. And then I was abstinent, but I was not abstinent. There were certain things that I was doing that I had sugar in it, among that alcohol. Now, I never had a problem with alcohol, but alcohol for me makes me eat. And so I cannot use it because of that. And so I was doing that, and you know, I was just I remembered that I was like, well, what should I do? Should I leave it? Should I stay? I mean, I kind of like it because I'm going out with people and I can't drink at all. And that's not fun. And so I hear that when you struggle as much with something, like should I or should I not, perhaps you have to put it down. And so sure enough, just doing that. And then I lost my sponsor. And I did not maintain, I mean, I was sponsoring, but I did not maintain a spiritual life. Step 10, 11, that were not part of my life. And then when I got my first year chip, I celebrated with a piece of cake with my mother. My mother was here. And so she asked me, she said, Elena, come and have a piece of cake with me. And she said, and I said, sure, let's do it. And so, and there weren't that many bites, you know, but I did it. And then the second time I got me another sponsor, I got on some trains with OA Outreach, Big Book Outreach Group. And I got my sponsor from another sponsor from there. This time my sponsor did not read the big book with me. What she did have me do instead, a podcast from a vision meeting, and read a chapter. So I was to listen to a podcast, read a chapter, from the big book and write down what stood out for me and call three people with some questions. And I, so the fact that I was reaching out, that was very powerful for me because that's what I need to do. I can't do it on my own. And so I started to have a community of people whom I could reach out to. And so I recovered with her and got on the step 10 train, step 11 train, and start sponsoring again. So at this time, if I do not have a spiritual practice, I don't know about you, but I go to sleep and when I wake up, I'm kind of in the same, thoughts of food, thoughts of like, I don't want to go to work, like, I don't want to clean my house, and I need to stop and reach my higher power. And I need to do my step 11. And the prayer and meditation. So through prayer and meditation doing improve conscious contact with God of my understanding. And so prayer is I used to pray like, God, help me get an A. And so I did the A's and like, see, I can just ask for God and God is giving me. But of course, God was not giving me ask everything that I asked. So prayer today for me is important, and it sounds something like I ask for guidance in the very next thing to do, so then I could help, I could be well to help other people. So it's not only necessary to ask for myself for guidance, but because I have guidance, I have direction, I can then help others. And so, and then another component of step 11 is to just pause through the day and ask for an intuitive thought of it or an inspiration. And for me, God is just by simply breathing three times, breathing and being conscious of my breath. And I can close my eyes and listen to the quietest sounds of the room, and just ask, help me to know that you're here with me and you're holding me in your peace. And I can see and feel my well-being from God today. I don't know how to describe that. It's just those moments of like clarity and clear-minded. Those that I see, that the compassion that I feel for others, and I say thank you, God. And I hear if the only prayer is thank you, that would be enough. And I like that. So it could be just as simple as that, because when before 12 steps, I had some prayers that I just said automatically, like, little angel, blah 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 blah, and Lord's Prayer, blah 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 blah, and I was just saying to say it. Well, today I pause and I stay and I ask, I let God enter my heart, and he or she surely does. The big book is saying at the core of each one of us is the fundamental idea of God, and I believe it. I believe it. I think I was born with God. And I think I have God within. And if you doubt that, just watch a newborn when they nurse or when they sleep or when they eat a bottle. And I mean, they're connected, they're safe. And so food can push that away from me. My God from inside, it gets pushed away from because of food, but not only because of food, because of things that I do as well that were revealed to me in step 8 and 9. My behaviors were insane. I wanted to have the relationship with people, and I wanted to do what I wanted them to do, because if they were not the people that I thought they should be, I would not be happy. I totally, and that was a dishonesty as well. And so today I do not get my happiness from others. I mean, I will be full. I will be forever trapped into that enmeshment that, it's now self-inflicted. I did not know that I was doing that before these 12 steps. I do know, and now I have a choice. So, practicing the steps is a choice. Pausing is a choice. And other things, prayer, meditation, our choices, reaching out to other people with a step 10 is a choice. And being aware continuously of things that I do, what I feel, what thoughts I have about others, because there can still be judgmental thoughts. And I asked God today, I said, God, guide me and direct my thoughts to see others for who they are and not judge them, And that's a work in progress. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have this program. And I did and I if I wouldn't do this work. So now step 12, I think it's the ultimate healing for us, because I'm not supposed to keep it to myself. I need to be willing to like pass it on to others. So like the Big Book says, there's gonna be a community about me, but it's not about me. It's about a community of recovery. So I need my sponsees to be recovered, and then they have a sponsee to be recovered. So then I can see, feel, I don't know, that energy, I believe, is just amazing. That thought of all these people around who recovered and who might help, or maybe they helped me. So I cannot not sponsor today. And now Bill W. suffered from depression, and he wrote a letter about emotional sobriety. And in that letter, what he said was clear, that when all else fails, working with another alcoholic saved the day. So he helps himself from his depression with working with others. So anyway, I think that's all I had. Yeah, that's all I had.
Thank you so much, Elena. We'll just